The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Jane A. Rustani presiding before court number 23-00041, Elysium Tiles, Inc. et al. Versus the United States et al. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiff?
David Craven of Craven Trade Law.
Yes, Your Honor, Christopher Barrage on behalf of the United States, along with my colleague, Vanya Wang from Department of Commerce. David Spooner of Barnes & Noble.
Okay. All right, we got, it's summertime, we have lots of interns around. All right, anyways, okay, Mr. Craven, you go on first.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor, for having this hearing. We appreciate the opportunity to discuss these important issues. Would Your Honor like me to start by discussing your questions?
I don't care what you want to do. I'd like to start with the ex parte problem.
Sure. We agree that the department's entitled to ex parte meetings. That isn't our issue. Our issue is twofold. It's that we don't think the memorandum in the ex parte meeting was adequate, and we also believe that based on precedent, as also noted in the court, if they provided an ex parte meeting to the petitioner in this case, they needed to provide us an ex parte meeting. We asked for one.
I don't remember a regulation on that.
It's not a regulation, Your Honor, but there have been multiple court cases, and it's also department practice. We've cited some in our case brief. Where if they provide an ex parte meeting to one party, they provide an ex parte meeting to the other parties. Now, the other parties don't always take advantage of that, but it is a practice that the department has followed.
All right.
And so that's our it's a twofold problem. We don't know.
So if, let me ask you this.
Sure.
If I decide that they don't really have to give you another meeting, do you lose on this issue?
We don't lose on this issue, but you have to take into account the special nature of scope proceedings. This is far more egregious than in a normal administrative review, because in a normal administrative review, we have an opportunity for a brief and a rebuttal brief on the arguments presented to the department. In a scope proceeding, there is no process for the submission of argument. And therefore, the only opportunity for argument presented was ultimately in the scope ruling. So we were not provided an opportunity to make oral argument or argument of any kind to the department beyond their scope ruling.
I read the scope ruling. It looked like there were arguments of one side and arguments of another, so they came from somewhere.
Right. They came from the scope ruling and the comments that were filed, but there was no argument process.
All right. You asked for a scope ruling.
Yes, ma'am.
And you put in a piece of paper.
Yes, ma'am.
And that paper had some arguments in it.
Absolutely, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And then does the domestic industry come back with a piece of paper that has some arguments for its side?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a brief.
It is akin to a brief in that it includes factual information as well,
so then,
but it is not a formal.
Okay.
We have this in regular administrative reviews. We have information and arguments are included in that information when they're put in, but we still have an opportunity at the end of all the information being put in to have an argument.
Okay.
And in this case, the domestic industry had that opportunity for an argument. We didn't have that opportunity for an argument.
I imagine they will say that wasn't their argument, but after you each put in your opinions, about what should happen in your written submissions, then there is a scope ruling, and you don't put in a rebuttal.
I believe we were able to put in some rebuttal.
Put in a rebuttal. So you have your view of what the scope should be, their view of what the scope should be, and your rebuttal comments on what the scope should be.
In the form of a supplemental questionnaire, yes, Your Honor.
It was in the form of a supplemental questionnaire. Huh. So it's not really a rebuttal. They asked you questions?
Well, we replied. We put in a response to a supplemental questionnaire. They put in comments on our comments on the supplemental questionnaire, and we replied to those questions.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just tell me all the pieces of paper that went in.
Yes, Your Honor. There was a scope application that was submitted twice.
Okay. Yes, they rejected it first, and then you tried again. Okay.
Yes. Then they filed a response to the scope ruling request.
Right.
Then there was a reply filed by Elysium to the domestic industry's comments on the scope ruling request.
Okay.
Then there was a supplemental questionnaire to Elysium, which Elysium responded to.
Okay.
And there was comments filed in response by the domestic industry to Elysium's supplemental questionnaire, and Elysium's response was filed to those comments.
Okay. So we had basically two sets of briefing. We had the first set and then the set related to the supplemental questionnaire. Your answer, their answer, your answer.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor.
All right. So when in the timing of this did the meeting in Florida happen?
Yes, Your Honor. The meeting in Florida, according to the memorandum, occurred in September 26. The department issued its supplemental questionnaire to Elysium on September 27th, the day after the meeting.
Okay.
So it occurred after the first set, the scope ruling, the comments on the scope ruling in response to those comments, but before the supplemental questionnaire.
So it came in between.
Yes, but okay. one day after the
meeting. Okay. And what kind of things did they ask you?
I don't recall off the top of my head. Okay. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
So is that in the appendix that was provided to me? Or
yes.
Okay. Let me go look. My computer's answering me. Just wait a second. Okay, I'm looking at the scope application, scope letter. Where do I find the supplemental questionnaire in this appendix?
I do not have the appendix with me, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay.
I can give you a citation, however, to it.
Like what? Bates number citation?
A PR, a record citation.
That doesn't help me.
Okay, because I believe the index does have the public record numbers to the appendix.
All right. I've got the appendix.
It's PR 27 was their supplemental questionnaire.
All right. Where in the appendix is it? What do I care about a public appendix? I care about confidential appendixes. There's a public appendix.
The questionnaire was only, I believe, public.
Okay. Maybe that's the problem. I usually just look at the confidential stuff. So it won't be in the public appendix. Okay, let's see. That's in the public appendix? Okay, let me see. Interesting. Okay. All right. You want to tell me anything else about ex parte?
Well, I think, Your Honor, that summarizes, I think, what our position and views are on ex parte, that the summary wasn't adequate. We again acknowledge that ex parte meetings are permitted and that we weren't provided one, and we think those are both significant differences between this case and some other cases.
Okay. What do you want? You want to move on to?
Unless Your Honor wants to hear from the United States first.
No, you just continue your argument.
Okay.
And we'll let them do their whole thing at once.
Well, again, when we talk about the summary, there's a claim that no information was exchanged. We don't know what was exchanged.
We were done with ex parte.
Oh, we're done with ex parte.
Well, I thought we were, but...
Well, I was going to talk about the nature of the memorandum itself, where it acknowledges a tour was held, but it doesn't talk about anything else that happened. We don't know what was discussed. The department has told us they did not rely upon information provided in that meeting.
Yeah, I thought you were finished your argument because you basically said they had the meeting and one day later they put out a supplemental request.
Right.
And we know what the, quote, summary was,
yes,
which was not a substantive summary. It just said we had a meeting, basically. We had a tour and a question and answer session.
Yes, Your Honor.
But we don't know what was said during that question
and
answer session. Okay, what else do you want to tell me?
Now, the other thing goes on is the nature of the scope rulings themselves is there's not a lot of evidence as to what decorative on the record.
I thought we were getting to that question. I call this issue two,
right,
the actual ruling itself and whether it's supported by substantial evidence.
There are very, very few cases for scope in this particular investigation. There have been a total of 3 scope rulings requested. One of them was Maryland Mosaics, for which a scope ruling was issued. One of them was Dow Tile that was filed and withdrawn 15 days after it was filed. And a third one was filed on June 19th of this year, and obviously we don't have a decision on that scope ruling yet. We also don't think there's any evidence on the record of specifically what is decorative, so we think that the court probably has to turn towards the ordinary meaning of the term decorative.
Well, decorative isn't a term in the order.
It is a term in the order, Your Honor.
It is? I thought it was a term in the decision, the scope ruling.
Just a minute.
Okay. All right. I thought it was a term in the scope ruling.
It is. Specifically, it says... minor processing after importation, and that's where they're coming up with the argument that decoration is minor processing.
I don't understand what you're telling me. Are you telling me that the word decorative...
The word decorative doesn't appear in the order itself.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yes.
But it's in the scope ruling.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now we're on the same page.
And our position is that the marble component is functional, that when people buy this product, they buy it for the marble component. Similar to the CIT has marble floors. People buy marble because marble has feeling and connotations, and this product provides a way for people to have marble that doesn't have all the normal drawbacks of marble, but has all the benefits, such as the different durability factors and so forth, for marble. Is it a tiling? Yeah, it's a flooring. It's similar to ceramic tile, wood tile, quartz tile, natural stone, solids, natural stone tile. So we think that while it certainly improves the appearance of the ceramic tile, it doesn't make it decorative. And critically, this product, as we talked about in our scope ruling, one of the unique features of this product is because it is thin layers cut off the same marble block, you're able to have a repeating pattern of natural product that you couldn't have if you were taking single slabs of marble, that you have the veining patterns become more consistent. So
it seems to me this decorative business, I'm not sure about. I think what you probably mean to argue is that it's not minor processing.
No, we've made that argument as well, Your Honor.
Yes. It seems to me that that would be your best argument, that it's not minor processing, that adding the marble layer is not marble processing. It's not in the same category of things as beveling, cutting, trimming, staining, painting, polishing, finishing, or additional firing.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, in our 56-2 motion, we went through all of the steps that are involved in producing this marble tile with the work that is done on the marble. The marble block is taken. The marble block is cut. The marble block is...
Okay. The steps that go into creating a marble layer...
Yes.
...is not processing on this. It's a different... For example, all the steps that go into making paint are not the processing we're considering when paint is added to a tile. Okay, so I don't...
Except...
So it doesn't help me to know about all the chemicals that go into paint and how you make paint. If painting something is minor processing, and I don't care how complicated the process is for making paint.
No,
so that's where your analogy has a problem.
Well, but except, Your Honor, that in this case, one of the things that goes on is that the marble tile is cut to a very, the marble is cut to a very thin wafer, at which point it is dedicated towards the production of the tile, and that thin wafer requires precision to cut it, and then that wafer is glued permanently with epoxy to two ceramic tiles, one on each side, at which point it is then split. And those are, that's a very complicated process.
Okay, that is a description of processing.
Yes,
okay.
Your Honor. But we think that you have to go a little further up.
I just don't, you know, the question is, you would say that's not minor, that the process of applying the process of applying the marble to the ceramic and coming out with the finished tile is not a minor process. That is your argument.
Yes, Your Honor, because it's not merely gluing a piece of marble onto a ceramic tile. It is a preparation of a piece of marble to a very thin slice. The gluing of that marble to two different ceramic tiles, the splitting of that sandwich into a marble ceramic layer, the polishing and finishing of the marble tile into a finished product. And we think that that's a... We have pictures in the of all those steps in the 56-2 motion.
Okay.
And we think it also you have to look as well as to what is going on with regard to the production of the marble piece that is used. This is not just paint. This is a preparation of a very specific article, which is used in the production of the tile.
But that isn't. The creation of a piece of marble is not the processing we're talking about. Marble comes out of a quarry, right? You got to quarry it. You get
yes,
a block. Then you got to split the block. I mean, I don't call that the process we're talking about. I call the process that we're talking about the process of applying marble to the ceramic.
Okay.
That's the process. And now I want to talk about something else. Below, you said this was not a K3.
Yes.
Then I read your brief and you said it is a K3.
No, I think in the question answer I did suggest that we don't think it's a K3, but if you choose to apply a K3 analysis.
Okay, so you don't think it's why isn't it K3?
We think it's not a K3 because we think it's a K1. We think that the scope language is very clear that it says that the final product must be produced by fusing the raw materials through firing. And if we take this product and we fire it, it will be destroyed. It will not be, the final product will not be produced by firing.
Okay. So, okay. Here's your argument. Your argument is if you look at the K1 factors, it's out of scope.
Yes, Your Honor.
If you're not satisfied by the K1 factors and you go to K2, it's out of scope.
Yes, Your Honor.
And probably mostly because of the value of the marble.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And if you're, here's number, if you're not convinced by K1 or K2, you go to K3, and it's two separate components that then have to be considered.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we didn't think the court would need to go to K3, but if the court chooses to, we think the facts are very clear.
Well, the court isn't going to go to K3 on its own because you did not exhaust that below. So I'm not going there. Well, the question is, if this goes back to Commerce, whether they should go there. Because if I sat here today and said this was K3, and the only reason this whole thing is wrong is because this was K3, I would not send it back because you didn't exhaust that. But if it's wrong for some other reason, I may send it back. I guess I want to know if it went back, and in the great scheme of things, I said, consider one, consider two, consider three, consider everything you have to consider to come up with a scope in just how does it fit into K3?
Well, it fits into K3 in that arguably the tile and the ceramic are separate components, that the tile, as they've mentioned, has a commercial value, and marble has a commercial value, a significant commercial value, and the two are permanently combined together into a new and different product.
Okay, but then in K3 you consider whether you can separate them. Right.
And we've talked about that below.
And they can't really be separated.
They can't be separated. Okay. The only way to separate it would be to destroy the product, and you would be left with two pieces of unusable product.
If you can't separate a product, is it ipso facto out of K3?
Probably.
Okay. Ipso facto and properly don't go together, but all right, fine. I'll take that answer for now. Anyway, okay, are we done for now, and we'll hear from the government, and you'll come back?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll start with, we'll go backwards since we're talking about scope right now.
Now let's start with ex parte.
Sure. The first point was that the ex parte memorandum was it was issued itself on the 26th, but the meeting itself took place on September 20th, 2022. So it was about a week before the supplemental question there was issued, just to make that point clear for the record.
Okay, and on the 26th, you issued the sup. You issued the summary,
yes,
quote summary.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then the 27th was the supplemental questionnaire. Okay,
that's correct.
I got the chronology.
No, that's okay. And so I just wanted to make that clear for the record. And the supplemental questionnaire itself did not have any questions that related to the anything that was learned at the factory.
Well, how do I know that? Because this is why I wanted to look at the supplemental questionnaire.
Yes, Your Honor.
Supplemental questionnaire talks about process for making these things. State whether your composite marble undergoes minor processing after importation. State whether your composite undergoes any minor processing in a third country. State whether the porcelain tile backing portion of your composite tile has undergone firing prior to the addition of blah, blah. Please provide documentation of providing the percentage of blah, blah. How do I know none of that relates to what happened in the meeting in Florida?
Because the Department of Commerce would have put that into the supplemental memorandum.
Okay. In other words, I don't know. I don't know what happened. He doesn't know what happened. All you're saying is we're good guys, and if something had happened that was important, we would have put it in. Okay.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I can't assume that. I can assume that you are honorable people, and you don't go to Florida to look at a factory as a boondoggle. I assume you go to Florida, this big group of people, to find out stuff relevant to the case before me. That's why they went to Florida. So we want to know what they found out relevant to the case before me. And actually, if they found out nothing, they should say that. But I think even that isn't enough. What I need is a summary a summary that says, you know, here's how they make their tile there, blah, 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 blah. A summary. I have no substantive summary here. I have this happened, but no idea. And now he says, well, look at this came out right at this time. Maybe this was all prepared before you went, and maybe you decided you didn't need to add anything because you didn't find out anything. But he doesn't know, and I don't know. All I know is, all I will presume is that government officials are acting pursuant to their duties in the regular course and went to Florida to find out something. And I need to know what they found out. You put in a memo, but it had no substance. And if there's no substance, I mean, maybe nothing happened that prejudiced him, but I just don't know how he knows that. I mean, from what you're telling me, is like, well, we're good guys, and if something had happened, we would have said so. I really think that's not what the statute says. The statute says you put in a summary.
Yes, Your Honor. So this is a hometown tour that the Assistant Secretary of Commerce is taking. We understand that these memoranda that they issued were stock boilerplate memoranda that they did. If they ever went to a tour that happened to have a party that was involved in a scope proceeding. If you look at the actual statute itself, the important thing is that it says if there is information that was discussed relevant to the scope
proceeding.
Okay, just
a second.
Itself.
That's not the language.
Yes,
let me read to the statute. Shall maintain a record of any ex parte meetings between interested persons and other persons providing factual information in connection with this proceeding. Factual information in connection with the proceeding. It doesn't say information that was relied on. Under this case, somebody went to Florida and they got factual information. It may have been useless, but they tried to get factual information. So they went in connection with the proceeding. So it shall include a summary of the matters discussed or submitted. And it should have had a summary, and then we could tell if it had nothing to do with this. And it doesn't have to be information that's relied on. It says in connection with a proceeding.
It says, shall maintain a record at any ex parte meeting between interested parties or other persons providing factual information in connection with the proceeding and the person in charge of making final determination to Commerce.
Yeah.
If information relating to that proceeding was presented or discussed at such meeting.
Right. So what were you doing if there was no information relating to the proceeding?
This is a hometown tour that the Assistant Secretary was taking to...
A hometown tour.
Right.
It was a tour of a facility of one of the parties.
That's correct, Your Honor, but this is not, it was not unique to this case.
It may not be unique to this case, but I'm telling you, if this is the kind of thing you put in every case, it's not enough. It has to say what happened, because we can't judge. And, if this is the boilerplate that you do, change your boilerplate. You know, have a blank underneath. This is what happened. This is what was said. I mean, I don't know what they did. I assume they learned how tile was made. Why else would they go down there? A hometown meeting?
It was a series of tours that the Assistant Secretary of Commerce took. That's correct. And it was not unique to this case. It was not unique to tile.
So why do you go down there and take a tour?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure exactly the purpose of the tour, but I think a lot of it was to, you know, talk to the domestic industries generally nationwide about these. This is not unique to just
this
tile.
Was listed to be in connection with this proceeding. This manufacturer was part of the coalition that initiated this proceeding.
Yes, Your Honor. The manufacturer was part of the proceeding. That's correct, Your Honor. But this
and
is,
we're going to find out how they make their tile, because if we're unconcerned about what the domestic industry tile is about, why are we having an order And why are we concerned with scope? We must be concerned with what they're doing and what was of interest that caused them to file this proceeding, which then led to this scope case. Anyway, I think the government's not getting a pass on this. The statute says, give us a summary. I want a substantive summary that says what happened. And I sure hope somebody at Commerce made some notes and can say what happened. Because I don't want to have to bring people in here to testify about what happened.
Yes, Your Honor. Understood.
So somebody go find a note. Somebody took some notes there. I mean, otherwise you're just saying they're going on some boondoggle. Who wants to go to Florida anyway? I mean, really. But
I think the factory is in Kentucky, but that's not all
right.
Particularly relevant.
It wasn't in Florida. It was in Kentucky. Who wants to go there? It's not Derby time.
Sure.
Okay.
I understand what the court's
all
saying.
All right. So now put that aside. I'm just hoping that there is a summary somewhere that tells us, you know, what they saw, what people said generally. Doesn't have to be word for word, and we can find out what happened. Meanwhile, he says there's a practice of when you have an ex-party meeting, then the other side gets one, and in fact there's cases that say so. Now, this doesn't ring correctly with me. So you tell me what you think it is.
No, Your Honor. So I think first, this was, and I understand the court's position about there may have been something that was discussed that was relevant to the proceeding. It's our position that there wasn't. There would have been something.
Well, then I guess we'll get some kind of statement as to what happened.
And the government's position on that would be that if there's nothing discussed that's relevant to the scope proceeding itself, it does not make sense to say to Elysium, okay, sure, you can also have a meeting where we won't discuss anything of relevance to the scope proceeding. This is a hometown tour that was taken, but they did not actually discuss the scope proceeding itself. And so there's no need.
When you say didn't discuss the scope proceeding, if they discussed anything that was related to scope, such as how tile is made, that relates to the scope proceeding. Just because they didn't make an argument, a legal argument, doesn't mean it doesn't relate to the scope proceeding.
But this is about Elysium Tile's tile-making process, which factories in China. This is not, they didn't do a comparison in the scope ruling that said, well, you know, Florida Tile makes it this way. You made it this way, according to your K-1, according to the documents you submitted.
Knowing what Florida Tile makes, Florida Tile is in Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What? Knowing
the factories in Kentucky.
Knowing what Florida Tile makes is relevant to what the scope covers, because Florida Tile's part of the coalition. These are the people who filed the petition. That lets you know what they're after. And so it is relevant. It's just not, it's not a direct legal argument about the scope, but it's relevant to what this whole product is. And that's what we're having a scope inquiry about, is the product. So, and as you know, one of the K-1 factors is what did the petitioners want? Okay, so if you know what a petitioner's like and what they make, then it gives you a better idea of what a petitioner wants, which is a K-1 factor. So you think it doesn't relate to scope, but I have a bigger view of what relates to scope. All right.
Understood.
So now tell me, you say, okay, well, we decided nothing happened, so they don't get an answer. What happens if you decided that something happened?
So something happened, there would have been a sentence, but, and we discussed the Vallejo case in the responses back to the court, and the court asked the question. In that case, there were two memoranda that were issued by Commerce. In both cases, or both memoranda, there was one sentence discussion about what took place, that it was actually relevant to the scope proceedings, and the second one had two sentences that talked about it. And what it gave the other party a chance to do is submit something else, or ask for a meeting or something to that effect. So it put them on notice that something is happening. So that's what happened in the Vallejo case. Chief Judge Barnett said, look, you may want more substance in these memoranda. That's not what it requires. It just requires that you say something in the memorandum itself that at least puts the other party on notice that something of substance was discussed relevant to the scope
of meeting. Okay. Well, I guess my question was, how does that relate to whether they get a, quote, meeting?
Right. So if there was, sorry, I was belaboring the point. if there was something that was in there that needed to be addressed, it could either have been a meeting if Commerce felt that they needed to have a meeting, or they could have asked for, hey, can you give us some information? This party said this. Can you give us some information to address what they gave us in the ex parte meeting?
There's no regulation on this, right?
No, not on giving.
So the standard practice is, if we think something happened that's related, then we tell you what it is, and you get a chance to respond.
Either we will say, the Commerce will put it in the memoranda itself, either generally a very short summary. But then we'll often ask the parties, so in this case they would ask Florida Tile, please put that on the record, right?
Okay.
So that did not happen.
All right. So that would be the practice. Now what's the law that says you have to do it?
There is no law that says that Commerce needs to give the other side a separate ex parte meeting and a scope proceeding.
All right. And what about the case law?
So I think that the case law that was cited by plaintiffs is distinguishable in this case. And I think he had cited, let me do this answer to this case. Yeah, there's no case law that supports the plaintiff's position in this case.
So you say it's just a matter of practice that if we think something was said that is relevant to the case, then we will give you a summary that says that, and you get to tell us something.
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. Okay.
And so at the end of the day, I think one of the important things we'd like to note is that, you know, I think that it requires a sort of separate logical leap as well. So not only are you sort of presuming bad faith, that they didn't do what they were required to do in the statute by actually putting it into the summary and giving, you know, Elysian Tile a chance to respond, but then it sort of also assumes that Commerce, when writing its scope ruling, somehow wove in the information that it learned from the factory tour within the scope ruling itself,
no,
rather
that's
than the
not
line
necessary.
In the case of practice.
That's not necessary. It doesn't have to be something that Commerce relied on. It's just factual information that may be important to him. It doesn't happen. Anything that comes before the agency is part of the record underlying the decision, and it doesn't have to be anything that's relied on. I think you're just limiting this. This is already a situation where the other side is cut out, and so you can't be taking a narrow view. You have to take a broader view so they can see, and they can say, well, we have no comment on that, or they can say, we do have a comment on that. I mean, for example, suppose at this factory we find out that it's ceramic tile that has laminated to it a solid layer of something. Boy, that would be interesting. I'd like to know that. Be better for the petitioner's case, you know. So, I don't think what you want is going to apply here. I need to know what happened. They're in the dark. Nothing important may have happened. We need a summary of what happened that will show us there was nothing important and they didn't need to have an opportunity to comment. I think that's what we need here. But meanwhile, back to the, why don't we talk about the scope here?
Yes, Your Honor. That's good. Another sort of clarification point, the order itself does discuss decorative.
Okay, show me where it discusses decorative.
Sure.
In what context? The context of the decorating.
Apologies. So, at the end of the paragraph, The subject merchandise includes ceramic tile with decorative features that may in spots exceed 3.2 centimeters in thickness, and includes ceramic tile slabs or panels, tiles that are larger than 1 meter square. So the order itself does say subject merchandise includes
with
ceramic tile
decorative with decorative features.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And okay, so, that may in spots exceed 3.2 centimeters. I was trying to figure out what this thing is. What is this thing, this decorative feature that in spots may exceed 3.2 centimeters? What is this decorative feature? I mean, they put this in here for some reason.
Yes, Your Honor.
So what is this thing that could be a decorative feature that in spots exceeds 3.2 centimeters?
Not sure what the in spots particularly means. They didn't talk about the in spots part of it, but looking at the actual thickness.
Because that in spot, you see, that doesn't sound like a marble slab, does it? A thing that only in spots exceeds 3.2 centimeters. So I'm trying to figure out what this thing is.
I'm not sure about what that is. I think it does say may in spots. I don't think it's saying that it's only.
This is it, that may in spots exceed 3.2. Was this a layer of Ripley glass?
Could be, Your Honor.
I don't know. Okay, I have no idea what this is about. Talk about, and you don't have any idea.
About the in spots.
Yeah, decorative features that in spots. I mean, it kind of sounds like, some kind of coating that went on that was irregular, thick paint, but I don't know, 3.2 centimeters?
Centimeters, which is much bigger than our...
Whoa!
It's much larger than the tiles that we're talking about.
What is this? A decorative feature that may in spots exceed 3.2 centimeters in thickness. I'm really having a hard time imagining what that thing is. This is very confusing. I was thinking millimeters. I was thinking long. It's
centimeters.
Centimeters.
So, anyway, for the purpose of...
Why don't you go have a chit-chat?
Yes, sir.
See if your colleagues have a clue as to what that is.
Your Honor, may I...
We'll let them and then you.
Okay.
Let's see what they do. Okay. All right. What do you think?
So the industry standard is tile is 3.2 centimeters or less. So the 3.2 centimeters includes the entire universe of tiles.
I see. So it's not the decorative feature. Okay. So they just wrote this wrong. They didn't mean the decorative feature is more than 3.2 centimeters. It means the decorative feature causes the tile in spots to be more than 3.2 centimeters.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's what they meant to say. And you think that's what they meant to say?
Wrong.
We all agree. Okay, let's rewrite the scope. Okay. Okay. Decorative features that may in spots cause the tile to exceed. All right. Okay.
Mr. Craven was
just got agreement from everybody on what this scope language meant to say, but forgot to. Okay. All right.
Yes, Your Honor. So the order does cover the decorative features here, and it's the government's position that the marble, sure, it does. The marble itself does undergo features, as the court was talking about, Mr. Craven, but that's not relevant here to what's actually here. It's just glued onto. It's 25% of this composite tile is glued onto 75% of the porcelain ceramic tile. And that's what creates this tile. That's how commerce looked at it. And when, there's the cutting and processing of all the marble that goes into it beforehand, but substantively, when it actually comes to what this tile is, there's comparatively very little there.
Well, how about the fact that in order to do this process, you have to put the epoxy down, you have to put the marble down, you have to put something else on top of the marble and then split the whole thing apart. That's a minor process?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, the order itself says it includes but is not limited to beveling, cutting, trimming, staining, painting, polishing, finishing, and additional firing.
And what caused Commerce to think this was minor?
Because I think primarily it's gluing on, and the gluing and the splitting and trimming, that's part of what is covered under the order.
You're gluing an expensive thing onto a cheap thing.
Could be expensive, yes, but that didn't factor in under the K-1 factors for this.
Oh, they didn't consider it.
Cost, right.
Okay. All right, let's talk about what K-1 factors they did consider. So they didn't consider the cost of this, of gluing on an expensive piece because it was a K-2 factor. That's why they didn't consider it?
Correct, John. They didn't consider the cost.
All right. So because the process may involve a very big cost, it's not considered in deciding what is minor processing. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think that it's because of its cost, but that the features of it were submitted with the scope of application alone were dispositive under K-1.
What was dispositive?
The features of the tile itself.
So you're saying, under K-1?
Yes.
Okay, so go through the K-1 factors and tell me how they were considered in coming to this decision.
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm just going to get out my K-1 factors. Okay, where did I put them? Okay, I got them.
So the first is looking at it's porcelain tile itself, which is the layers themselves, the composite layers, porcelain tile, epoxy, and then the marble.
And we're in K-1. We'll consider the language of the scope. We're not going on a basis alone because we're looking at more than the language of the scope. We're looking at the K-1 factors. Okay, descriptions of the merchandise, of things that were excluded. No, we're not doing that. Okay, so we got I. The interpretive sources, the descriptions of the merchandise contained in the petition.
Correct.
So was the petition considered in the scope ruling?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And what about the petition was considered?
The descriptions of the tile themselves about what was there, the description in the scope application itself was discussed.
No, I'm talking about the petition that started this whole thing.
Oh.
So what in the petition that started this whole thing was influential in the scope ruling? It just does mention the description of the product in the petitions. That's what it says in the first paragraph, the analysis. But is there something specifically about the description of the product in the petition? Let me ask you this different way.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a significant difference between the description of the product in the petition and what Commerce adopted as scope?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So I guess I don't know the answer to this one. All right. I'll put that aside for the moment. The petition description, I don't know if it's discussed separately from the scope description. All right. What's next in RK1s?
For the scope application, and the language that was provided in the scope application.
Okay. I guess I got one. Description of merchandise contained in the petition. We're giving that a question mark for the moment. Description of merchandise contained in the initial investigation pertaining to the order at issue. So that would be the descriptions in the initial investigation. That would be by Commerce and I guess it's by, I don't know, is it by Commerce or Commerce and ITC? B, I'm looking at K1IB. It's more descriptions of the merchandise found somewhere. Is that this? So is the description from the initial investigation discussed specifically? I get, you know, if it's not very different from the petition and from the order, then it's all the same. So I guess we just look to see if there's any big difference between the description in the petition, during the investigation, and in the final order. And if it's all the same, it's all the same. All right. Then we get prior scope rulings, memorandums, clarifications. Is any of that discussed?
No.
Determine of the commission, the ITC. Any discussion of the determination of the commission and the like product the commission found?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, for this case.
Okay. So, I think somebody from Commerce wants to tell you something. She's writing notes. Moving right along. All right. To come back. Okay, tell me the answer.
There is a mention about the ITC, an ITC determination on trimming and polishing. That's cited in, it's on page 9 of the scope ruling itself.
Let's go look at it and see what it says.
It's footnote 65.
Okay. Note 65.
And so leading up to that footnote,
this is about polishing. Okay, 65. And let's see what the text is that goes there. Okay, that's not a discussion of what is the like product in the IT, in the commission's determination. That's a description of what is a minor polishing process. Okay, so I think the answer is there's no discussion of what the like product is in the commission's determination. So far, I don't have any K1 factors really considered. That's interesting. Okay. So what else do you want to tell me?
Yeah, I think that the scope of the orders themselves were in clear here, but based off of the submission that was submitted in the scope application, by Elysium, and they looked at the tiles themselves, and they
it was clear, but they said they were making a K1 determination.
Well, looking at the
Commerce said it was making a K1 determination, but the scope was clear, or something in the K-1 factors resolve any confusion in the order language itself.
Their descriptions of the merchandise itself was taken into consideration.
That's it.
In K-1.
The description of the merchandise is it. Okay. Okay. Anything else you want to tell me?
Just briefly, just want to look really quickly. We had submitted the answer to the court about the bright line rule about the tipping point about the at what point does it change from maybe a marble tile to a porcelain tile to make it within the scope. And as we pointed out in the answers that we sent to the court, that it's important to consider the total makeup of the tile itself, and the ratio here is significantly more of the ceramic than it is of the marble.
But, you know, you're asking me to totally ignore the fact that the thing that's added to the basic ceramic tile is a real expensive thing. And, and you say, okay, don't look at that because it's in K2. But I've got a situation now where I have an order that has to be rewritten, an order that is not clear about what is decorative, what isn't decorative, an order that is unclear about what is a minor process, and then Commerce saying they went to K1, but they didn't actually go to K1, and therefore I should totally ignore the fact that marble costs a lot, and it's been sandwiched onto this ceramic. In this case, the product is a marble tile which has a thick ceramic backing. That's what it is. Whether that's covered by the scope or not, I don't know. But I think I don't know from this decision. It's a thin marble tile that it has a thick ceramic backing. Maybe it's in scope. I just have a hard time figuring that out from what I have here. You want to tell me something else?
The marble, the scope of the order does say decorative tile. It does talk about decorative feature. And the marble itself is a decorative feature. That is what it is.
Oh, it certainly is decorative. In fact, it's so decorative that it's the reason people buy this whole thing in the first place, is they want something that looks like a marble floor. And they can get one by having a thin layer of marble sandwiched onto a ceramic tile. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's the right answer. I would like these things considered. In fact, I think we need to consider the K2s. I just don't see it from K1. I mean, there's no definition of decorative. There's no the things that are in minor processing aren't the same as this. I think it's not, scope is tough. And this is not a good one, especially when they don't even write the order right. Jeez, what a mess. All right, what else do you want to tell me?
Nothing, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, all right. What else do you want to tell me, Mr. Craven?
I just have an intermediate wish to be heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Often the defendant intervener is extremely helpful. So come, be helpful.
Your Honor, I'm David Spooner, counsel for defendant interveners, who of course were petitioners in the underlying investigation. Your Honor, I had, in addressing whether or not porcelain tile with a thin veneer of marble glued to the top is subject to the orders, I was planning on addressing three issues, one of which was not the ex parte meeting, but I'm happy to address issues regarding the ex parte meeting because I was there in Eastern.
The problem is, am I going to take back from you about what happened at the meeting? I'm just not sure we should do this.
That's
what do you think?
I can, based on my, I think, good recollection, Your Honor, convey what occurred at the meeting, but it's up to you as to whether or not that's something we should do.
What do you think, Mr. Craven?
Well, I think that the fact that Mr. Spooner was present at the meeting suggests it's not a hometown tour.
I don't know what, you know, you guys use that phrase, hometown tour. I have no idea what that means.
It's not a PR tour by the Secretary of Commerce, because if it were, why would Mr. Spooner have been at the meeting? And I think it would be inappropriate to take this.
Okay, I think you're speaking, I don't even know if we're picking you up. All I want to know from you right now is whether you think procedurally I should hear from Mr. Spooner about what happened at the meeting. Before he says anything, I want to know.
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think it would be an unfair surprise.
Unfair surprise. Okay. What does Commerce Department think about Mr. Spooner talking about what happened at the meeting? Look at everybody's view.
Yes, Your Honor. We think it's probably for the best to not discuss the facts.
I think that that was probably. I think this would be. We would be making the record.
Yes.
And the thing is, to make the record, I have to find the record was inadequate, and then I have to have Commerce make the record, and I think you shouldn't be making it before me in the first instance. It should be made before them in the first instance. I think it's got a lot of problems. So let's not.
Understood, Your Honor.
Okay.
I think the only thing I could say, and I'm confident I can say this, is I would reiterate something that is on the record, and that's and it's was placed on the record by both ourselves and by the government, and that's, of course, to reiterate that there was no argument or evidence regarding the Elysium, at least directly related to the Elysium.
Okay.
Scope.
That's, there was no argument about and discussion directly about the scope case.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. That doesn't answer. Okay. That's, we'll all agree on that, we think. I guess we'll find out if we get a summary of what happened. All right.
Yes, Your Honor.
No direct discussion of the scope case. All right. Well, that was good, if that is true. Okay. Continue.
But, Your Honor, with respect to issues unrelated to the ex parte meeting, I would like to stress, if I may, three issues regarding whether or not Tile is subject to the scope. I'm sorry, Elysium's product is subject to the scope.
Right.
The first is whether or not a marble laminate, as Elysium's marketing material refers to it, is a decorative feature explicitly covered by the scope. This issue was, of course, explored by the court's first and second questions about the scope ruling. And maybe I should note, I'm not trying to be mendacious in describing the marble layer as a veneer or a laminate. It's 3 millimeters thick, Your Honor. I had to get out a ruler to do a gut check as to exactly how thick 3 millimeters.
Well, this whole product isn't that thick, is it? It's about a centimeter.
Yes, Your Honor, although the ceramic tile portion is significantly thicker.
Yeah, we know what all the millimeters are.
Yes, okay. Your Honor.
All right.
Although it may be significant, and this is for what it's worth on page 62 of the public appendix, again, it may be worth noting that Elysium's marketing material refers to the product as laminated with marble. The second issue I would discuss is whether, and this is a question that was not covered by the court's pre-hearing questions, is whether or not the application of the marble amounts to minor processing and therefore does not remove Elysium's product from the scope. And of course, this is a question Your Honor was exploring a moment ago. And lastly, Your Honor, K3, if you'd find it useful, I'm happy to express our opinion as to whether or not K3 should apply to Elysium's
product.
Okay,
well, what do you want to tell me about? I forgot. I you said what the issue, are you going back to these issues? I didn't get the answer to number two.
Oh.
Number two was the marketing, marketing materials is laminated. And what's number two?
Number one, Your Honor, would be the issue of whether or not the marble veneer or laminate is decorative and therefore making Elysium's product subject to the scope.
Well, I think it's not, because Commerce decided whether it was merely decorative. It's merely decorative. I mean, marble's decorative. But that doesn't really answer the question here of this, whatever happened here is merely decorative.
Although it's important to note, Your Honor, that ceramic tile as a rule, the surface of ceramic tile is always looks different than the back of a ceramic tile. I'm probably stating the obvious.
Yeah, I'm assuming the top of the ceramic tile is always decorated in some way, even if the decoration is a smooth paint or a smooth finish.
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
Okay, so that's always decorative, but we have something more than that.
I would disagree, Your Honor.
It's certainly more than just a smooth tile.
Well, it's a marble look.
A marble look, but it's not a marble look that's painted on. It's not faux painting. It's a marble sheet that's attached in some way.
That conveys a marble look to the product. And I must say, I've worked with this industry for a long time, Your Honor, and as you probably know yourself, you don't have to be a tile industry person. Marble look tile is a commonly purveyed product, and for the life of me, I can't tell the difference. Heck, I can't resist but pointing to the
I don't know. This building was made in the 60s. It's probably asbestos made to look like marble.
But for the life of me, I can't tell the difference between marble look tile and actual marble.
Right.
I couldn't express, I can't speak for Elysium, I can't express exactly why Elysium has decided to purvey a product that has a 3-millimeter a veneer of marble glued to the surface, but it looks exactly the same as a marble look tile.
I thought you were calling it a marble look tile.
Yes,
as opposed to a marble tile.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Perhaps I wasn't clear enough. There are both tiles that have screen printing on the surface that look exactly like marble, and then there is Elysium's product.
Oh, I see. What you're saying is that the totally fake product looks just like the half-fake product?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes. And I would say a couple things in addition about the decorative.
I know why they market it. Come on. You tell somebody that they're going to buy a tile that has real marble attached to it, you can charge more than if you tell the person, this is ceramic tile and we've printed marble look on it.
May be the case, Your Honor. Exactly. Yeah, but at the risk of using perhaps a clunky analogy, the fact that it's of no moment that the decoration may be expensive or that it was labor-intensive to apply the decoration or that the decoration imparts a certain cachet. To use perhaps a clunky analogy, if a manufacturer were to sprinkle gold dust on the top of a tile, that might be a very expensive product and might convey a certain cachet to a elitist consumer. But doing so would be decorative and would not remove the tile from the scope of the order.
Maybe. Okay. What else you got? You got a third.
The second issue, Your Honor, is, well, I should stress, if I may, that the record is woefully devoid of any evidence that the marble veneer serves anything other than that serves a non-decorative purpose in any way. And at least to this, I'd point to pages 35 and 36 of Elysium's motion for judgment on the agency record, where Elysium conveys that the marble, quote-unquote, provides valuable properties to the end product and supplies the physical characteristics of stone to its face, but it remains unclear exactly what those characteristics and properties are.
Okay.
For support in the investigatory record outside the four corners of the scope, Your Honor, for a finding that Elysium's tile with the marble veneer is in scope, I'd point to the department's final scope memorandum. I'd point to the department's final scope memorandum in the investigation.
Yeah.
And this is page 86 of the public appendix.
Okay.
In the department's final scope memorandum in the investigation, the department found that a tile with the surface of 3-dimensional glass adhered to the surface and that was hand-painted was in-scope merchandise. In doing so, the department referenced the petition, a portion of the petition, that declared that tile, that a variety of techniques exist for applying decoration to tile. I'd also point to portions of the ITC's final report from the investigation.
Okay, just a second.
Yes, sir.
The first thing you cited is from the original investigation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And that is noted on what page of the scope determination?
It is not noted in the scope determination, Your Honor.
Okay.
At the risk of getting sidetracked from what I was hoping to convey.
Okay,
I think
we'll go back to the ITC in a minute. Okay, hand-painted, there was glass. Hand-painted glass was affixed to the ceramic tile.
Slightly different, Your Honor. The product that Commerce considered during the investigation was described as a tile with three-dimensional glass affixed to the surface, and that was hand-painted, so it was two separate decorative techniques.
Dimensional glass. Affixed was it was discussed in the original investigation and found to be within scope.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So this is another thing that wasn't discussed in the scope order.
Yes, Your
Honor. But was there in the investigation, which is a K-1.
Yes, Your Honor, although I would assert that, of course, K-1, I know you know K-1 well, but I would assert that K-1 says that Commerce should start by looking at the four corners of the scope, and that Commerce may, that Commerce doesn't have to, but that Commerce may, in addition.
I know the regulation was changed because I probably wrote a lot of the decisions that said, hey, your old regulation says you shall, and they changed it. But here they said they did K-1.
Yes, Your Honor. But they did K-1 by looking at the four corners of the scope. There is one footnote that refers to the ITC.
Okay, investigation. You say the original investigation bears this up, but they didn't cite it in the scope order, in the current scope, the scope ruling, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
But now we got the ITC, we have that thing about polishing, which they refer to. We got anything
exactly.
Else from the ITC in here?
Yes, Your Honor, although there are several portions of the ITC's final report from the investigation in which the commission, while never venturing, I should say, to define the term decorative, nevertheless asserts that subject merchandise includes decorative tile.
And that is in the ITC report?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so it's in the ITC determination, the original ITC determination, it was in there.
Yes, Your Honor, and?
And can you give me that cite?
Yes, Your Honor, I would have to quickly grab,
okay.
I would have to quickly grab our responses to the court's pre-hearing questions, but I do have those cites.
Okay, it was in there?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well then we'll find it. Okay. Okay.
Second, Your Honor, the Department, of course, this is the minor processing issue. The Department, of course, found that the application of Elysium's marble veneer involved minor processing, and therefore this processing was not enough to remove the tile from the scope.
What do you think they meant by the minor processing? Is it the gluing?
I think it's both. If you look, Your Honor, at Elysium's description of the production process for porcelain tile with a marble veneer. As best I can tell, there are three processes that go into, and I should say, I'm sorry to quickly digress, but Your Honor, you asked a question at the outset of our hearing that I was primed to try to convey, and therefore I can't help but highlight it. I wholeheartedly agree that the processing of the marble from the quarry until it gets to Elysium's facility.
I'm not going there.
Yep.
Okay.
But
then what is the minor processing? Is it the gluing, or does it have any consideration of what is being glued?
Yes. Elysium, in its submissions before Commerce and its motion for judgment on the agency record goes into granular detail about the production process for its product. But as best I can tell, there are three things that go into application of the marble veneer to the tile, and those three things are polishing, cutting, and gluing. And the scope itself, of course, contains a list of minor processing operations, an indicative list, and polishing and cutting are both explicitly mentioned as minor processing operations in the scope. Gluing is not mentioned, but I'd posit, Your Honor, that it's reasonable for Commerce to find, because again, it's of course an indicative list, that gluing as well is okay. A minor.
At what point do you stick something on that makes it no longer ceramic tile in scope?
Your Honor,
you got an idea of what you could do that would make it out of scope? Or any time you have a ceramic backing, you have in scope?
No, Your Honor, the government asserts in their responses to the court's pre-hearing question that there may come a point where the marble is so thick and the tile is so thin that the product is out of scope. Frankly, the court might not like this response, but I'm very tempted to say, I don't want to go there, we're not there. This is, you know, we have to consider the product before us, and the product before us has a 3-millimeter laminate adhered to the surface.
I'm kind of uncomfortable going with just the 3 millimeters. It's just, at some point, the thing you put on is so valuable that it changes it. And I don't care whether that's K2, it changes the whole product. So, I don't know. I just have no idea where the line is, and I let, I suppose, somebody in the first instance draw it besides me,
although, Your Honor,
considering all the stuff they're supposed to consider.
Yes, Your Honor, I would push back against the notion that the marble veneer here is more valuable than the porcelain portion of the product. Alethium's submissions convey that the marble is 60% of the cost and the porcelain tile is 40% of the cost. But it's extremely important to remember that we're talking about that the porcelain tile input into this product has been found by the Commerce Department to be dumped and subsidized at a rate of in excess of 600%. And I'd push back against the notion that...
What do you mean, because there was some AFA finding somewhere?
Yes, Your Honor. But,
okay, but, I think of those.
Yes, Your Honor.
They're not reality. They may be legal, but they're not reality.
It's a penalty rate, of course, Your Honor. But nevertheless, the department has found that that the rate of dumping and subsidies is in excess of 600%. And even if we had a calculated rate, it would certainly, as you know from a plethora of China cases, it would certainly change the balance of 60% to 40%.
I don't believe that anti-dumping rates in the one time, two times, three times are realistic. They're not real. I don't know what they are, but they're not real. I wish we had reality. Okay, very interesting. What I want to hear about from you before you sit down is K3. What the heck is K3 about?
Your Honor, of course, it's so new. This case has been an opportunity for me to learn.
I may have provoked this as well. Mm-hmm. I think I had a case involving washers that I said the product wasn't washers. The product was something else.
Yes, Your Honor. It was McLean Power, if I remember correctly.
So did I cause K3 again and causing all these problems?
I think you might have, Your Honor.
Okay. So what is K3 then?
K3, of course, conveys that it's what Commerce refers to as its mixed media analysis. It was a regulation adopted, as I'm sure you know, in 2021. McLean Power, your decision was in 2019, but because of the timing, I wondered myself whether or not it elicited K3. K3 has three parts, and please cut me off if you know this already. But K3 says that as a first step, the department must look at whether or not the allegedly subject input into the mixed media is indeed subject merchandise if it was standing alone. And I think the answer to that, we all agree, is yes here. Then K3 says that the department, if possible, must apply a K1 analysis to the product as a whole to determine whether or not the product as a whole is subject to the scope of the orders. And I would assert, Your Honor, that that's exactly what the Commerce Department appropriately did here. Commerce applied a K1 analysis and found that because of the references to decorative and the references to minor processing in the scope, the marble veneer product was subject to the scope under a K1 analysis. But then K3 says if you can't do a K1 analysis, you must look at three things. I hope I get these right off the top of my head. But the first is the relative cost of both of the inputs into the mixed media product. And, of course, that's an issue we just discussed. And it's our contention that the dumped and subsidized tile is actually more costly than the thin marble veneer. Secondly, K3 says that the department should look at the use of the mixed media product, and that may be also something that we agree on. I think we all agree that Elysium's product is used as flooring, just as tile is. And then, can I have it in front of me? I actually don't, Your Honor.
Is that the separability thing?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. And then the third sort of last resort factor in K3 is the separability, whether the mixed media parts can be separated. And we would assert, even if we got all the way to these last sort of resort factors in K3, that at least two of those three factors weigh in favor of finding that the product is in scope. But
okay, so I would assume you really think this is not a K3 situation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So what's a typical K3 situation? The pencil set? The old-timey pencil set?
It may be, yes, Your Honor.
Pencils in a box?
Yes. When Commerce put out the proposed regulation, if I remember correctly, and I'm sorry I'm going off of memory, the department referred to mixed media as things which are packaged or assembled together. We don't have here, and I can't help but assert, Your Honor, and forgive me, that as we discussed earlier, Commerce's scope application template asks the applicant whether or not K3 applies. And Elysium here, in response to that question.
They said no.
Yes.
But they've actually, if they fail on K1 and K2, then they actually lose on K3 because they waived it.
Yes, Your Honor.
But they first have to fail on their challenges under K1.
Yes,
or wherever we are.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. We got you. Okay. Now, Mr. Craven, you want to say anything?
Thank you, Your Honor. I just have a couple of quick questions, or a couple of quick comments. We heard the United States suggesting this was some sort of PR tour or regular tour conducted by the Secretary of Commerce and his delegates, and it was just one of the many companies they stopped at. And that may or may not be true, but I think it was significant that among the list of attendees is the counsel, David Spooner, for the domestic industry. The fact that counsel there present kind of belies the claim that this was just simply an ordinary tour. And if it was, then the domestic industry took advantage of the tour existing to bring in their lawyer. I assume Mr. Spooner doesn't just go regularly.
Okay.
Secondly, in the case law, we would direct you to page 24 of our brief. We've cited multiple cases where the courts have said that if you're going to have an ex parte meeting for one, you should have an ex parte meeting for more than one party.
I think they agree with that. Their problem is they say, well, and I know you disagree, and I'm kind of on a few on this, that nothing happened. Well, they say nothing happened, and because nothing happened, we don't need to have another meeting.
And finally, I think there are two other things. One, on marble characteristics. We said more about the marble characteristics than in our case brief, but the key here is splitting. They're trying to argue that splitting is somehow more akin to cutting than anything else. And I would simply suggest, and we cited this on page 33 of our memo, the ITC discussed what post-firing operations would undertake. And when they talked about cutting, they specifically talked about cutting to rectifying the produced tiles of specific sizes. Splitting is a far more complicated operation. And we talked about this in our 56-2. Splitting is a far more complicated operation than cutting. It's not mere cutting. It requires a high degree of skill and involves separating and leaving a physically usable surface of marble evenly split between two pieces of ceramic, and provides that 3 millimeters is critical because it provides a surface which has marble physical characteristics, among which it's not painted on. It's not going to disappear when I walk over it after.
What advantage does marble give you other than looking a lot better?
Well, marble has a different hardness content, a different durability. There's a reason that marble has been used in big buildings for years over other materials, because marble has a different longevity. We have tile as well. Tile is a long established practice. You can't.
Yeah, I'm really. As far as I know, marble is soft. Marble is stainable. Marble breaks easily. What does it give you other than, hey, it looks great?
Feel.
Feels better. Yeah, it feels okay. Different. That's true.
And also, I would point out that you can't split tile. You can cut tile, but you can't split tile. Because if you split tile, you don't have two usable surfaces.
Okay. Let me ask you something else. Yes. ITC considered this glass application. If they apply a layer of glass, and that's in scope, why isn't a layer of marble in scope?
Well, how was the glass applied?
I don't know. You read the ITC decision?
If the glass was applied by firing, then it would certainly remain within scope. We think that the firing language is something that we've pointed out is very critical. It says the final product must be produced by fusing the raw materials together by means of firing. If you take this product and you put it in a kiln.
Okay, that's back to your firing argument. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
And I think those are the points that I would like to reemphasize.
Okay. All right, Mr. Craven. Gotcha. All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, I don't know what the answer on the scope is. I'm really at sea about your ex-party practices. I don't know. I assume that the Commerce Department, they're the Commerce Department. They have a function which is to promote industry, right? So every time the Commerce Department floats around the country promoting industries, it's not necessarily connected to a case before this court or before the agency. So, but this is something different from that, correct? I mean, isn't it different from like Commerce Department's, hey, yay for U.S. industry?
Well, as far as we know, Your Honor, this is not different than that.
It's not, and I see. It's not different than that, but Mr. Spooner's there, and you list it as a ex parte meeting in connection with this proceeding.
No, it's an ex parte memorandum that happened to have parties that were in this.
Well, just a second. Well, why did you do it if it wasn't?
And that's a good question from the court. I mean, it's not required under the statute itself.
It just doesn't. Let me see this thing again. Okay. Let me get my record document. Okay. My current colleague was there. She's the Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Enforcement and Compliance. And you have the Assistant Secretary for ADCVD Operations. These are people connected with ADCVD cases. Aren't there other kinds of commerce things that happen that aren't associated with enforcement and compliance and ADCVD operations?
Yes.
Don't you have commerce people who go on trips, you know, promoting U.S. industry? And so, I mean, this is about everybody listed there has something to do with the ADCVD case. So I don't know why you're calling this a hometown trip. I don't know what that is. Is it defined somewhere?
It's not defined.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Erin.
Thank you. Oh, wait. I shouldn't go before I ask my clerk whether you think we covered everything? You think we covered everything? Everybody thinks we covered everything. All right. Now all we have to do is decide. Thank you.
All right. Court stands adjourned.